Welcome to Simple Living Works. I'm Jerry Iverson. I'm pleased to be your host for Whose Birthday? Featuring audio selections from Simple Living Works' signature publication, the annual for individuals, families, and congregations. Whose birthday is it anyway? If you're new to this podcast and would like more basic information about Simple Living Works, please listen clear to the end. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye at my cue. We have produced a real treasure trove of audio, video, and text resources for you, your family, and your congregation or group. We do not solicit or accept cash donations, nor do we sell anything. All of our resources and services are free of charge. We're an all-volunteer organization. We do promote alternative giving. See the link in the show notes to the guidelines for year-round alternative giving, as well as the classic Christmas versions. Basically, alternative giving means giving away at least 25% of what you spent last year on all celebrations, Christmas, birthdays, etc., to local, national, and international causes. Our mission is equipping people of faith to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly. All three parts of our mission are especially wrapped up in our resources for Advent and Christmas, when consumerism is at its peak, when we need reminders both to be charitable instead of spending so much on ourselves, and to challenge the systems that make charity necessary, and to celebrate in simple ways that focus on relationships instead of stuff. Our site contains familiar titles such as Unplug the Christmas Machine Workshop, Carols with Justice, The Celebration Revolution of Alexander Scrooge, What Does Jesus Want for Christmas, and many more. Check out our extensive resource index. The link is given in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. This short series is completely different from the previous year's Whose Birthday series, which, by the way, are still available on our site if you missed it or would like to hear them again. Visit simplelivingworks.org, window number 3, click Preview, Backup. We produce a half-hour podcast twice a month, hopefully educational and inspiring for you, your family, and your congregation or group. To learn more about us, listen to episodes 1 and 2. In this episode, I present part of an audio adaptation of the well-known Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? I hope you listen to the entire series, though each episode is self-contained. The series contains reflections and activities designed especially for the weeks of Advent and Christmas, including the Feast of the Epiphany. We'll have guest voices and writers featuring prominent preacher and national leader Lou Lotz, including author Meg Cox, and others. Links to the references in this episode are given in the show notes. I'll let you in on a little secret. All three episodes of this series are already produced and available at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3, in the Preview Backup Index. So, if you don't want to wait for each to be released in iTunes or Stitcher, visit the site and listen to all or some of the series. The topics of each episode are given there, too, so you'll know what each episode contains. The series comes from Whose Birthday Number 16, which is based on Liturgical Cycle C, the Gospel of Luke, the same as this Advent and Christmas season. Note, the calendar is the correct cycle, but off by one day, so you'll need to make a slight mental adjustment.
Why a simpler Christmas? A simpler Christmas leads to freedom. A consumer Christmas leads to stress and debt. Simplicity leads to generosity. A simpler Christmas leaves room for joy. It is such a joy to get the burden of stuff off our shoulders. A simpler Christmas builds relationships. We are told thousands of times every day by commercial advertising that we will find meaning and happiness through stuff. Voluntary simplicity says we will find happiness and meaning in life through relationships, within ourselves, with others, with the earth, and with God. A simpler Christmas leads to a whole life of simplicity. Celebrating is one part of the total life of integrity. This booklet is one step on the lifelong journey of simple living. Only we can choose to simplify our own lives. This booklet can help. A simpler Christmas promotes justice. By using only our fair share of the Earth's resources, we leave some for others around the globe and for future generations. Live simply that others may simply live. A simpler Christmas cares for creation. A simple life is an Earth-friendly life. Let's have a simpler Christmas this year.
Yes to Jesus and joy, no to stress and stuff. A daily calendar for the third week of Advent. On Sunday, meditate on the readings for the day given on the CD sleeve. Share the reflection for this day. Sing some carols with justice. December 14th. Discuss the item, bearing gifts does not make us wise. December 15th. Today, people in Mexico celebrate the Festival of the Virgin of Guadalupe, a celebration popular with the poor and Native Americans. Learn more about this holiday. December 16th. Instead of sending Christmas cards, make a card that shares your concern as you anticipate the birth of the Prince of Peace. Invite others to sign it and mail it to a political leader. December 17th. Practice the 5 R's. Reduce, reuse, recycle, restore, respond. Cut the use of things in half by practicing the principle of half. Use water, electricity, and fossil fuels wisely and conservatively. For example, use compact fluorescent light bulbs. They require only 25% of the energy that incandescent bulbs do. December 18th. Tend to health, spiritual health, through prayer, meditation, and spiritualizing of life. Mental and intellectual health. Journal. Avoid media overload. Physical health. Exercise and eat organic. December 19th. Think not only about year-end contributions, but also about socially responsible investing, called SRI. For help, visit www.socialfunds.org. December 20th. Share a skill. Pledge to teach a child to garden or bake, a teenager to do home repairs or prepare taxes. The Pedigree by John Bell from the Iona community in Scotland. Not the powerful, not the privileged, not the famous in the land, but the no ones and the needy were the first to hold God's hand. Not a well-established family with an heirloom christening shawl, but a homeless wandering couple parented the Lord of all. Not at first to little children, nor to those whose faith burned bright, but to adults stalled in darkness, angels brought God's love and light. God, determined to be different from the standards we think best, in his choice of friends and family lets forgotten folk be blessed. Not obsessed by our achievements, worldly wealth or family tree, maybe we, in and with God's chosen, find our fondest pedigree. A reflection by Lou Lotz for the third week of Advent, based on Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. What a contrast! There's Martha in the kitchen, busy as a beaver, a flurry of activity, while Sister Mary is in the living room, sitting dreamily at Jesus' feet, listening to him talk. Standing at the kitchen counter, her resentment growing by the minute, Martha thought, "Why am I doing all the work? Why doesn't Mary get in here and help me?" Finally, Martha storms out of the kitchen, angry at her sister and angry at Jesus. "Don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." People tend to identify with one sister or the other. They say, "I'm like Mary," or, "Martha, that's me." But truthfully, the tensions between the two sisters are inside each one of us. All of us are like both of them. We all have a double first name, and it is Mary Martha. Your Martha part is active, achievement-oriented, anxious and troubled over many things. making lists of tasks and then checking them off. Martha even has a list in her hand when she prays, a prayer list. But somewhere inside of you there is also a Mary part, a contemplative part that likes to sit and listen, a part that can be silent before a sunset, spellbound by a symphony, captivated by a book, deeply moved by the words of Jesus. If your Mary part dominates entirely, the basic physical needs of your life will not be met. The danger of that happening, however, is very remote. The real danger in our active, anxious, achievement-oriented culture is that our Mary part will be squeezed out entirely. No time to listen, no time to think, to read, to pray. As you move through this season of Advent, and as you feel the tension between your Mary part and your Martha part, remember that Jesus pronounced your Mary part to be the better part. It is better to appreciate than to achieve. It is better to listen than to speak. It is better to be something than to do something. We will always be part Martha, and that's okay. Martha has her place. A certain degree of achievement and activity is necessary in this life. Bills have to be paid, tasks have to be accomplished, errands have to be run. But as we allow our Mary part to develop more and more, we will be less and less distracted, less and less anxious, more and more poised, and more at peace. This Advent, don't just do something, stand there. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46. Let's talk about it. Set the timer for 5 minutes, during which time all family members remain silent. When the timer rings, talk about the experience. What did you think about during your time of silence? What did you hear? How did you feel? Getting a Clear Picture of the Spirit of Christmas by Tom Rinkowski of Green Bay, Wisconsin. Uncovering the true spirit of Christmas can be difficult because of all the media hype and consumerism. Also, each person will find something just a little bit different in what Christmas means, usually because of upbringing and personality. Taking time to share feelings and thoughts in our families helps us to celebrate what we all believe about Christmas. Here is one fun way of helping our families to find and share the spirit of Christmas. Step 1. Between December 6th, that's the Feast of St. Nicholas, and the day after Christmas, that's Kwanzaa, each family member is to find and take, quote, pictures of the spirit of Christmas, close quotes, whenever and wherever they see it. Encourage them to approach the task as creatively as possible. Though capturing this spirit may not be simple, it is fun. Each person's media might include a brief story or essay, painting and drawings, clippings, an easy-to-use disposable camera. Step 2. After December 26th, schedule a family meeting on Holy Family Sunday, that is, the Sunday between Christmas and New Year's, at which each person will be given the opportunity to share their photos, stories, and other creations. Step number 3. At the family meeting, each person takes a turn holding up their creation, then passing it around after they have explained how it symbolizes or is the spirit of Christmas. The listeners have the task to listen. They can ask questions of clarification, but are strongly encouraged not to offer any other comments. Everyone takes turns sharing all their creations and the stories that go with them. Discuss why each person chose their particular media. Step 4. After all the creations are shown, the family can then explore several options. create a collage of photos, drawings, clippings, stories, etc. on a wall that describes what Christmas means to your family. Choose one of the creations to be the family Christmas card for next year. Save it in a special folder in your computer. The message on the card comes from words that were used to paint the spirit of Christmas. Write two or three sentences that describe Christmas for your family to use as a mission statement to guide next year's Christmas activities. You might decide to mail the creations to friends and relatives with stories of your discovery. Yes to Jesus and joy. No to stuff and stress. A daily calendar for the fourth week of Advent. On Sunday, meditate on the readings for the day given on the CD insert, especially the Song of Mary, Luke 1:47-55. Share the reflection for this day. Sing some carols with justice. December 21st. Discuss the item, What is a Gift?, found in the Christmas campaign kit. December 22nd. The biggest shopping binge of the year creates an enormous amount of waste. Keep track of how many bags of garbage you have this week and give $1 for each bag. December 23rd. Take some time to look through the photographs of past Christmases. What do you see and remember? Choose one photo and share a favorite story that it brings to mind. December 24th, Christmas Eve. Meditate on the readings for the day given on the insert. Share the reflection for this day. Sing some carols with justice. And play the Christmas game. December 25th, Christmas Day. Meditate on the readings for the day given on the insert. Christmas does not end at December 25th, midnight. The 12 days of Christmas are just beginning. The great festival of Epiphany is not far off. Don't take down the decorations. Don't put away your manger scene. Continue your Christmas journey and joyous celebration. December 26th. Read Acts chapters 6 and 7. Today is Boxing Day, the day we remember Saint Stephen, the first Christian martyr. Fill a box with food or clothing and give it to someone in need. December 27th. When have your friends, neighbors, and relatives been a blessing to you? Give 50 cents for each situation you can remember. Are You Ready for Christmas? A Carol for Advent by Mary Koch. Ready or not, the time is near. The Christmas deadline's almost here. We shop, we charge right to the max. No task will fall between the cracks. We gasp, we worry, and we fret. But with all that, will we forget? Get ready for Christmas in our hearts. We can't escape the Christmas maze. The frenzy heightens with passing days. Sweet Christmas carols fill each mall. Transfixed, we try to buy it all. With expectations much too great, will we persist till it's too late? Get ready for Christmas in our hearts. Dear Jesus, as we strive to make the perfect Christmas, we forsake the very message that you taught, the peace and simple love you brought. So let us pause each busy day, release our stress, we humbly pray. Get ready for Christmas in our hearts. When we can live in unity, when we can love with purity, when we can give and not receive, when we can speak and not deceive, when we can care without the fuss, when we see Christ in all of us, we're ready for Christmas in our hearts. A reflection by Lou Lotz for the fourth week of Advent, based on Luke chapter 1, verses 46-56.
The term Magnificat refers to A. Mighty Mouse's arch enemy, B. the lens of the Hubble Space Telescope, C. the heroine in the Broadway musical Cats, or D. Mary's song of praise in the Gospel of Luke. It's D. Trust me on this. Mary's song of praise in the Gospel of Luke is traditionally known by its Latin title, the Magnificat, because of that verb in the first line, "My soul magnifies the Lord." The Magnificat is a song about change. There are a whole string of switcheroos. God puts down the proud and helps the humble. God unseats the powerful from their thrones and elevates the lowly. God sends the rich away empty, but fills the hungry with good things. God is an agent of change, a shaker of the status quo, a turner of tables. The Magnificat reminds us that God is not nonpartisan, as the church often tries to be. God loves us all, rich and poor, powerful and powerless. But in the tumult of history, God takes sides. God sides with the poor, the powerless, the persecuted. If you are poor and powerless, there is real joy in the prospect of God turning the world topsy-turvy, putting down the mighty and exalting the lowly, filling the hungry and sending the rich empty away. But let's be honest. If you are prosperous and well-to-do, you are not going to celebrate God's passion for table turning, because you're the one sitting on the table that's about to be turned. What to do? We can't change the Magnificat or God's nature to suit ourselves, but we can change ourselves. Suppose our first priority was to help the poor learn to farm and feed themselves. Wouldn't that make it a lot easier for us to sing the Magnificat? Suppose we didn't just pray for the poor, but actually did things to alleviate their suffering. Suppose families and churches invested time, effort, and money in agencies that serve the needy. Wouldn't that make it a little easier for us to sing the Magnificat along with Mary? And wouldn't we be blessed in the process? What transforms Ebenezer Scrooge from a mean, miserly wretch into a radiantly happy man? He takes sides with the poor, Bob Cratchit and Tiny Tim. Scrooge discovers the joy of giving, and in the end, it is Scrooge himself who is most blessed. "I am as light as a feather," he cries, laughing out loud. "I am as happy as an angel." Can we Scrooges sing the Magnificat along with Mary and Tiny Tim? Sure we can. At Christmas time, anything is possible. Let's talk about it. Have each family member rewrite the Magnificat in their own words. Find the Magnificat in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 56. Mostly for adults. Gift Theft by Michael Meyer from Chicago. Christmas can be a time when people feel compelled to buy gifts for everybody in their family. We used to feel that way, but several years ago we changed our habits. Now when our family of grown-ups gathers, we each bring a gift and we all go home with one. On Christmas Day, our blended family of 8 grown children, their spouses and friends, and all the grandchildren gather for a meal. After the meal, we share the Christmas story and the little children get gifts. Then all of us grown-ups, including the older grandchildren, draw numbers and begin the gift exchange. The gifts we have brought are supposed to be worth less than $20, and people follow that rule pretty carefully. Some bring homemade items like candy and baked goods or something sewn or knitted. Some bring a bag with wine and cheese or a book. Last year, I brought a 5-pound chocolate bar. Some gifts are wrapped, some are unwrapped. We exchange gifts by having the person with number one pick a gift, and if it is wrapped, unwrap it. The person with number two can steal that gift or pick a new one. If number two steals number one's gift, then number one gets to pick a new gift. After a gift has been stolen 3 times, it can't be stolen again. It belongs to whoever has it. One other rule. You can't take back a gift from the person who stole it from you, but you could take it back from somebody else. The exchange continues until all the gifts are dispersed and everybody who brought a gift has one to take home. As you can imagine, there is a lot of hilarity in this process, a lot of fun, a lot of appreciation of gift-giving and gift-receiving. Why did we start doing this, and why do we continue? There are several reasons. Several years ago, it became evident that none of us needed a gift at Christmas. We all have everything we need, a lot of what we want, and some things we don't want. Frankly, it is a huge waste of money for us each to buy something for every other person. We considered exchanging names beforehand, but we thought that would put a lot of pressure on the gift giver to get the right thing for a family member whose tastes and needs are often not well known to everyone. At the same time, we do enjoy showing expressions of love, and gifts can do that. So we still give gifts. Everyone still gets a gift. Everybody goes home with something. Most importantly, we all go home with good memories of laughter, joy, and surprise. Last year, our oldest grandson got married, and his new bride was surprised and relieved that their household budget didn't have to be stretched to buy gifts for everyone. One little tangible remembrance from last Christmas is plenty for each of us, especially when it comes with the remembrance of our happy family sitting on our older daughter's living room, stealing gifts from each other.
You've been listening to one part of the audio version of Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? The text for all these items are available through the links in the show notes. Go to simplelivingworks.org, click window number 3. You're welcome to contribute to the online version of Whose Birthday. It will be updated as new material arrives, so send ideas and items anytime. Prepare something now while it's really on your mind, such as art. Art that depicts the tension between faith and culture, especially at Christmas time. Personal experiences, especially intergenerational ones, related to simplifying Christmas or finding meaning and happiness in relationships instead of stuff. Family activities, rituals or worshipful ceremonies for Advent, Christmas, or Epiphany. We reach many through our website, blogs, and other media. Sorry, we cannot pay for any submissions. To read the complete submission guidelines and past editions, use the link in the show notes. We get positive response to this podcast and our blogs. I'll present them in the future. In the meantime, read them on the Simple Living Works website. The address is given in the show notes. You're welcome to share your thoughts on these subjects. Email a message to simplelivingworks@yahoo.com. Or make comments on our Facebook page or on our Simple Living Works blog. All those addresses are given in the show notes as well. In addition to this podcast and its show notes, we blog each week on a variety of Simple Living subjects. Click on blog at the top of the show notes for each episode. We hope you'll read and subscribe. The Simple Living Works blog is the companion to this twice-a-month podcast. The content is different, though the subject is the same. And now our 250-some blog posts have a new index to help you find topics of interest. See the link in the show notes. Also, this past year, the blog has expanded to include many links to other Simple Living blogs. Many readers are offering all of us so much help. Much of the Whose Birthday series is also available in Spanish text. please share it with your Spanish-speaking friends. See the link in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. As one of the early and long-standing supporters of alternatives, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, known as the ELCA, makes copies of each resource produced by alternatives available by request at a nominal cost. The archive staff can help with your reference inquiries, whether they are genealogical or historical. Feel free to contact them at the office near Chicago. The complete contact information is given in the show notes. By the way, after this short series, we'll return to our interview format. Well, time to wrap up this episode of Simple Living Works Podcast. If you're new to Simple Living Works Podcast and would like more basic information about Simple Living Works, please listen a little longer. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye here. Peace. If you haven't subscribed yet, we hope you will now through iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Remember that you can listen to all episodes of Simple Living Works Podcast. They're archived twice. Access them at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3, click Preview, Backup, and choose the episodes you want, with or without show notes. Subscriptions to this podcast and to our weekly blog are free, and they keep you current automatically when we post something new. Urge your friends to do the same. Remember to like us on Facebook. You can also subscribe in iTunes to my other podcast, The Common Good Podcast, which I produce and co-host with Jubilee One Earth Economics. Send us your email address to receive the free monthly Simple Living Works e-news. Thanks to the band Earth Mama and to John Pitney for the music on our show, and to Pete Iverson for the viola interludes. This podcast is covered by the Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution Share-Alike license. To learn more about Creative Commons, click on its link on our website homepage. We at Simple Living Works believe that simple living really does work. Voluntary simplicity, choosing to live simpler lives, is a faithful, satisfying, effective, comprehensive lifestyle. It's not a list of rules nor living on the cheap. It avoids fads, convenience, and deprivation. It's so much more than a hobby. We believe in abundance, that there's enough for everyone's needs, not anybody's greed. We follow the saying, "Live simply, that others may simply live," as our closing theme song proclaims. Contemporary faith-based simple living is guided by the 5 life standards of living more with less, the classic by Doris Jansen Longacre, and I've discussed these standards in earlier episodes. We extend the mission and resources of the nonprofit organization Alternatives, which served from 1973 to 2011. The 3 parts of our mission are elaborated in text and video. Links are listed in the show notes. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works Podcast, wishing you well as we strive to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly.
Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live.